Thank you very much.
We'll go to number 23, Gino. Morning, Brian.
Good morning. Let me share my screen here. Oops, says host disabled screen sharing.
Rachel's kind of a control freak.
I concur. Brian, I've just given you permission for that.
Okay, let's try it again here. All right, can you see my, how about now? Can you see my stream?
There it is.
Okay. All right. Good morning, Chairman Olson, Commissioners, and Secretary Roebling. I'm Brian Blackwell, a fisheries biologist based out of Webster. Today, I'm going to discuss some bluegill research that we've been completing in the northeast part of the state. In the last decade, the number of anglers voicing concerns about maintaining and improving the size of bluegills has increased. This has occurred in South Dakota as well as across much of the Midwest. The concerns generally deal with the size of bluegills that are available and not the number of fish, because typically when we have bluegills, we usually have, you know, an abundance of bluegills. Studies in both Minnesota and Wisconsin, looking at the size of bluegills in the angler creel dating back to the 1940s, have shown that the angler harvest, the size of fish harvested, has decreased through time in both of these states. Traditional bluegill management has encouraged the harvest of bluegills to reduce competition, which should help maintain growth rates. You know, the concept, basically, fewer mouths out there at going after the limited resource, we should have better growth rates. However, research that began in the 80s and continues today has identified that life history characteristics are important in determining the growth and population size structure of bluegill populations. More recently, research has shown that limiting the number of large bluegill harvested, either through selective harvest or conservative regulations, can maintain or improve the sizes of bluegill in the population. Most recently, Minnesota began what's called the Quality Bluegill Initiative. With this, they've reduced the limit to either 5 or 10 fish on several lakes across the state in hopes of protecting or improving the bluegill size structure in these lakes. Fish management at the population level generally involves what are known as rate functions. Growth, how much length or weight a fish adds during a specific period, usually a year is what we're looking at. Recruitment, how many fish maybe enter that population in a year. And mortality, how many fish are lost either through natural or angler-induced mortality within that year. We know that anglers can have an influence on both mortality and growth through harvest of bluegill populations. In general, fish growth is influenced by both abiotic and biotic factors, with abiotic factors including things like temperature, lake size, while biotic factors may be the prey availability or just fish abundance in the lake itself. Bluegills are unique in the fish world in that their growth rates are influenced by what's going on with the males in the population. Large male bluegills, often referred to as parental males, are desired in our populations. They generally are larger than the females, and they get large because they delay maturing until they are older and larger. Once they mature, their growth really slows down, and it's because they're putting all that energy towards reproduction instead of growth. Being large has its advantages because the larger fish occupy the best nest sites, increasing their chances of successful reproduction. However, being large has its downfalls when it comes to anglers wanting to harvest the biggest fish. This often results in a high proportion of our bluegill harvest being the large males. When a high proportion of males are removed, the remaining males will start maturing at a younger age. And this leads to a slower growth across that population, which ultimately can lead to a reduction in the size of bluegills in a population, and that's where we start hearing from anglers about the size structure of those fish out there. Bluegill growth rates across northeast South Dakota typically average about 7 inches at 4 years, 8 inches at 5 years, and it takes about 7 or more years to reach 9 inches, and a true trophy, which is a 10-inch bluegill, typically is 10 or more years old. Previous slide, I showed that 10 years for a bluegill to reach 10 inches. In comparison, most harvested pheasants are around 6 months old, and thus they can be replaced on an annual basis. And if you look at trophy deer, a lot of those trophies are 4 to 5 years old. So you can see how, you know, how long it takes to replace a bluegill, 10 years or more, that to become a trophy-sized fish, and just how important and unique these fish are in our populations. The image in the background shows a bluegill spawning colony with multiple nests. Spawning typically begins in June when water temperatures approximate 65 degrees. In South Dakota, most of our spawning is concentrated during June, but bluegill are capable of spawning throughout the summer. They might have some secondary spawns going on. The males build the nests and guard the eggs and fry until the fry are old enough to swim off on their own. And this is a time when the males are extremely vulnerable, especially when we have clear water, because they'll defend that nest from anything that enters it, including an angler pitching a small jig or a hook with a worm on it into that. That male bluegill will pick it up, and they're pretty easily to be caught at that point. In South Dakota, we currently manage our bluegill populations with a 15 fish daily and 30 fish in possession limit. Is this the regulation that's best for our bluegills? You know, we're not sure right now, and we're researching that. That's what this project's doing. Hopefully we'll gain a better understanding of what's occurring, and then we'll, you know, have a better idea how we could potentially manage these for bigger fish or maintaining what fish we have. This research we began in 2019. It investigates population dynamics and potential for harvest regulations in our bluegill within select lakes in northeast South Dakota. We have several components. First, we are estimating the abundance of bluegill 6 inches and larger in each lake by marking and recapturing these in the spring. We can then estimate harvest through angler tag returns. We are also completing angler use and harvest surveys to estimate the amount of fishing pressure and what anglers are harvesting from these lakes each summer and winter. Standard population surveys are occurring. We look at parameters such as the age structure, the growth, the size structure, fish condition, and relative abundance in these populations. And in the end, we'll take all this data that we're collecting information, and we'll model possible outcomes under different regulations, similar to what you saw yesterday with the deer modeling. This research currently is being completed on 3 lakes. The lakes include Clear, Pickerel, and Enemy Swim. Each lake is scheduled to be in this rotation for 3 years, with work beginning in 2019 and going through 21 on Enemy Swim. Pickerel Lake is 2020 through 22, and then likely Clear Lake will be brought into the mix in 2022, and that'll go through 2024. Each year, approximately 1,000 tags are implanted or have been implanted in bluegills in each lake to aid in estimating population abundance and angler harvest. In addition with this, we have non-reward tags, but we also have tags that have a reward associated with them that is $100, and that reward encourages anglers to return these tags, and it allows us to develop a correction factor for non-reporting. Once 1,000 tags are implanted on each lake, then we go to punching a fin. Simply, we need to know the number of recaptures compared to unmarked fish so we can estimate population abundance at that point. In 2019, we estimated the population of bluegill and Enemy Swim greater than 6 inches at 18,152 fish, and in 2020, the estimate was higher at 21,989 fish. At Pickerel Lake, 19,066 fish were in our estimate and last spring. Although the numbers are similar between the lakes, on a per acre basis, there are more fish in Pickerel at 19.3 fish per acre compared to 10.1 per acre on Enemy Swim in 2020. Here you can see the length distribution of bluegills we tagged in Enemy Swim. Most of the fish were from 6 to 7.5 inches, with a very few of those fish being that 9 inches or larger. The fish collected in our trap net summer survey, we typically sample bluegills with trap nets that are set near shore. A lead extends out from the shoreline, and the fish are caught in a trap. Shows a high percentage of the population being comprised of fish less than 6 inches. This graph would have been, or the tagging graph would have been very similar, but we'd only measured those fish 6 inches and greater when we tagged them. And here the bottom graph shows the lengths of bluegills collected in gillnets, which are set offshore. Typically, we don't collect bluegills in gillnets, but we did that here. We actually caught a fair number of them this last year. But what it's showing us is, you know, there might be a component that we're not actually sampling in our standard surveys on enemy swim right now. You look at that and you can see it more closely resembles what we saw in our tagging. And that when we're tagging, that's when those fish are coming to shore to spawn. So we're basically in our summer trap net survey, it looked like in this last July anyway, we weren't sampling those bigger fish. Pickerel Lake lake frequency distribution between tagging and summer trap net surveys was similar. What is concerning is there's a lack of smaller bluegills coming in. We just have very few of those small fish recruiting, it looks like. Current population in pickerel is a nice one, but it's composed primarily of two-year classes, those born in 2016 and 2017. Bluegill growth at enemy swim was similar between 2019 and the 20 sample. This growth is slower than the averages for northeast South Dakota, where an age 4 bluegill typically is around 7 inches. However, by about age 6, we're closer to that average, so things do improve with time. But now remember back to that earlier slide where I showed we weren't sampling some of those larger fish and we used the gill nets. We were able to, go out and my daughters and I, we caught some fish and we were able to go out and take some otoliths out of those fish to age them. And basically you can see those fish that were out in the open water with anglers or catching have a, much greater growth rate, about 2 inches greater through ages 3 through 5. And then at age 6, things become similar. So it makes you wonder, is there definitely a subpopulation that's going on within the enemy swim out there with those faster-growing fish remaining offshore for most of the year? One other thing you can see here is we had, there were a couple 10-inch fish, and, basically one was a 10-year-old fish and the other one was 13 years old. So you can see how old those 10-inch fish are out there. Bluegill and pickerel are growing well. The last 2 years, they've exceeded 8 inches at age 4, which is extremely fast growth for our region. Of the bluegill tagged with rewards in 2020 in Lake Enemy Swim, 33% were harvested up to this point. This is somewhat high. Typically, annual mortality rate of 30% is found in sport fish population, but that includes what's natural as well as angler harvest. So this would just be the angler harvest. So you can see it's somewhat high for last year. This graph here shows the distribution of the tags we put out there on half-inch length groups. So you can see we had a pretty good distribution of reward tags in enemy swim. And now you can see with the greenish-blue percent showing what was harvested by anglers, most of the harvest came from fish that were 7 inches and greater. So definitely some harvest going on in enemy swim this last year. At Pickerel Lake, 58% of the reward tag were harvested in 2020. This is extremely high rate of exploitation. Was really surprised that we had this high rate. So definitely high exploitation going on there. In the graph here, you can see what our distribution of our tag fish. Majority of them were 8-inch fish. They made up a good percent of the population, so that's what was tagged. And you can see angler harvest here again. Good chunk of those fish, came from the 8-inch and larger fish that were tagged out there. So a lot of harvest occurring across all those length groups, but the 8-inch had the greatest. In this graph, you can see the number and percent of harvest by month for reward tag bluegills in enemy swim this last year. June and August were the months having the highest harvest. Some of that harvest in June likely came from fish that were on the nest. Enemy swim is a fairly clear lake, and so people can target those fish. The high harvest in August likely relates to a decline in invertebrates, the food items out there as the summer progresses. And this is something we commonly see in our yellow perch, the midges or the chironomids. As they get consumed over the summer, their numbers are reduced by, say, August, September, and we see a strong bite on yellow perch as well. At Pickerel Lake, August and September had the highest harvest. Again, that strong bite late summer probably is related to that reduction in invertebrates, those food items out there for the fish. So you can see, across all summer, there was, a fair amount of harvest going on. And then back in January, ice fishing, we saw some decent harvest there. And then the fishing slowed way down, and we just didn't see much for bluegills being caught out in Pickerel Lake the rest of the winter. Because of COVID, last year we weren't able to complete the angler use harvest surveys during the 2020 summer. Right now we have our kids hired to do it, and hopefully things will go on as planned this summer. So we'll have, you know, some more angler use and harvest this coming year. Because this is a good tool to help with, you know, another estimate of harvest. If you look at 2019 summer, which was a poor year for bluegill fishing on Enemy Swim, only 795 fish were harvested, which equates to about 4.4% of our 2019 bluegill population estimate. But that corresponds well with the 6% we harvest estimate we got from the 2019 reward tag. So you can see, and this is provides us another tool for estimating harvest out there. So in summary, bluegill abundance was high on both lakes in 2020. We're expecting a decline in abundance on Pickerel Lake in 21, simply because the recruitment's been minimal, and we won't have much for replacement of those fish. We lost 58% of that population this past year. Growth was variable on Enemy Swim, depending on what fish were sampled. While growth at Pickerel Lake is excellent, extremely fast growth. Harvest was somewhat high at Lake Enemy Swim in 2020 and was high at Pickerel Lake. Late summer showed to be the highest harvest on both lakes and likely relates to our invertebrate reductions as the summer progresses. And then all this information that we're gaining will be used to model bluegill population responses to the various regulations, including the current 15 fish daily limit that we have, just to see what may be the best regulation to maintain or increase the number of large bluegills in these populations. And with that, I thank you for your time, and if there's questions I can answer today, or you can email me at any time. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Great presentation. Love pan fishing. I don't think there's a better thing in the world to get young kids activated and introduced to fishing by catching bluegills and perch and crappie and all the fun stuff. So, anybody have any questions for Brian about his presentation?
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, good presentation. You know, one of the questions that gets asked out there has been asked about perch as well. You know, we have that possession or daily limit of 15, I think you put up there. Would the pan fishing last longer and end up with bigger fish if we had a limit of, say, 8 instead of 15? You know, it gets brought up by perch that we have a pretty high daily limit. If we cut that down by a third, would the perch fishing season or, you know, might last longer? So that's a question that gets asked often when we have high daily limits or something.
Right, yeah. One thing to remember, our perch and our bluegills, as well as our crappies, all kind of are different. And with our perch, what we've found over the years is a lot of those are short-lived. They're only a good percentage of them are living out to age 3 for the most part. So limiting the harvest on yellow perch kind of defeats the purpose of, you know, being able to harvest those fish, because we're going to lose those, a lot of those fish, to natural mortality even if we don't harvest them. So that's why we've kind of backed away on that yellow perch limit. You know, for short periods, yeah, you have 1,000 people to send on a lake, yeah, definitely if you had a reduced limit at that point, you might extend that a few days. But eventually, I think overall, you're still going to have pretty good harvest on those fish, one that bites on. Bluegill, that's what we're doing this research for. You know, like Minnesota went to 5 on some of their lakes. It's the potential we may want to go that direction. Generally, what we see with these creel limits, to have any impact on, you know, making changes, you have to drastically reduce that limit. It's got to be really low to really see much going up happening.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Brian, just
Chairman,
Secretary. Brian, when you're tagging those fish, is that typically a project that you have grad students or other summer interns help with? And how many do we actually – walk me through just a little bit of – how you gather those fish up and then how they're tagged and correlated.
Okay, yeah, it can be, you know, depends on the project. This project we're doing in-house, so it's myself and a few other people out of our office in Webster that are working on this. But then there are projects where we have grad students that are doing research projects funded through our department that will do some of this. So there could be either way. As far as our tagging, what we're doing with these bluegills, these fish are caught in the spring, late May, first part of June, when they're starting to get ready to spawn, so they're moving near shore. And we're setting mostly at 10 trap nets on each lake, I think is what we're primarily using. And we, like on Enemy Swim, we've dialed in pretty good. We know where these fish are going to be. So these trap nets, we set them. They set next to shore. A lead runs from the shore that forces those fish to swim back into the net itself, which has a pocket that holds those fish. And then each day we go out, remove those fish, take our lengths and our weights, and then implant the tag and release those fish for each day. We do hold, I think we're holding 50 fish a year for a couple days just to monitor the tags, just to make sure they don't fall out. And then we're also marking a fin, punching a dorsal fin on these fish so we can see long-term if those tags, the tag percent tag loss that we're having out there.
Very interesting. I've actually never caught one, but I've seen buddies that catch on through the lip when we do the walleye ones for the
right
guys, but I haven't seen the actual ones where they're implanted or tagged in the back. So very cool stuff.
Yeah, these tags look like a small piece of colored tubing coming out right behind the dorsal fin. The hot pink ones are the ones you want because they're worth $100.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, just a quick question before we move on, and I just want to say thanks for the excellent presentation. You know, with the 58% harvest rate on those reward tags in Pickerel Lake, do we know the bag limit or how many are in their actual possession? You know, when they leave the lake, do they have 15 fish in possession, or are they sorting through and ending up with like five in their possession when they leave the lake? Do we have the amount of fish they leave with that high harvest rate? Because if we were to lower that bag limit, or the limit, I should say, would that impact that overall harvest rate, or are they selecting for these 10-inch, 9.5-inch fish?
You know, that would be information we'd have to get from our creel surveys, which we didn't have one going last year because of COVID. But in general, when we look at our angler and our creel surveys overall, you know, it's not a lot of harvest. You know, there's a short period of time a lot of times where we see the high harvest and we have a lot of limits. But in general, what's occurring, I think, on a lot of these is, you know, there's people out there catching 5 to 8, 10 fish a day. So, you know, sure there are times when we do see a fair number of limits coming out of the lakes when the bite's really good. But overall, I think it's just, you know, a few fish here and there.
Yeah, no, and that's a very high harvest rate, and that's obviously something you're concerned about and our fishery staff are as well, if that is the case. So great research. I mean, I'm eager to see this year's creel data, and we'll learn more this year. So great job. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, Brian, appreciate your work on that.
Yeah, good job.
Okay, number